scripture for us to ask the Spirit of God to take a look at, that we would take a look at it, that He would help us have it imprinted on our heart, is Psalm 92. We spent a little time on Wednesdays before Christmas in Psalm 87 and 88 and 89, and at Christmas itself in 89, psalms that stick in our throat in some ways. And 92 might also, partly because you'll see it, I believe, in a moment. We'll put up a few slides to help us get the picture here. Psalm 92, also in your folder, starts out a psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. This is what God's people would sing every Saturday, and we would say, well, we don't have to celebrate on Saturdays, and we're not Jewish. I'll show you some pictures of the Jewish background of the psalm as we go through it, but maybe this one sticks in our throats because it speaks so much of joy, and it's hard to be joyful if you look back and see the troubles of last year, or how can we be certain about the future? Here's what the psalmist says, and we don't know who he or she was, but the psalmist writes, "It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness." Our translation says at night, it might as well be night after night, in the nights. For a whole night of 2018, if God should give us the whole year. 500 plus million miles we've traveled since last December 31st, and God will give us another circuit around the sun. Why? So that we can praise Him. That we can make music to Him. Make music on the 10-stringed instrument. There's actually three instruments listed. There's a 10-string one. I'll show you some pictures. And the lyre or the neville and the melody of the harp, the kinnor. Why? For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord. How profound are your thoughts. Let's put a picture of that up on the screen. If we can, just that would be enough, wouldn't it? That would be the only picture we'd have to show. How great are your works, O Lord? How profound are your thoughts? How do you float elephants in the sky? Every big cumulus cloud in the summer, especially we see them, is many tons, and every ton is an elephant. Every elephant is a ton. How does God do that? How does He make it light and then make it dark again? And how does He make us go around the sun? The songwriter says we should be praising God. We should be using, let's look at some modern ways of looking at it. Because, of course, if we would say, let's use the banjo. There's the guy in the front with the banjo. Banjos aren't necessarily thought of as the most religious of instruments, or maybe the most elite of instruments. The next slide, similarly. The other problem with the next slide is that, of course, people have a very mistaken idea in general of what heaven and hell are like. Gary Larson, I think, is funny, but when you think about the instruments in Psalm 92, you would best be thinking banjo, I would say. In the sense that it's very hard to find a sad banjo song. Most guitar songs, I suppose, it depends what genre you're in, but maybe you can have a slow one or a sad one, but banjo. So Linus says, let's look at the next one. Linus, talking with Charlie Brown, "I feel sorry for little babies." Why? When a little baby is born into the cold world, he's confused. He's frightened. He needs something to cheer him up. The way I see it, as soon as a baby is born, he should be issued a banjo. You were issued a whole songbook, and whether you can pick and strum and make music with the kind of instruments that God's people used, it's kind of interesting. Let's go see what they would have used for their ancient banjos 3,000 years ago. There's the idea. That's actual artwork from the era we're talking about. So a harp that you could hold in your hands. A modern representation, modern artists trying to make an idea of what this could have looked like. So there's one. You see the man with his Jewish garb on, and how do you get the different notes? Like on a guitar, you have to have different lengths of string on a guitar or a banjo. So this would be almost like a bass guitar or something. This is like a cello. This is a deeper one. Whereas, let's keep going. There's other ways of doing it. You can have shorter strings, and you can use frets and other things in modern terms, to make the different notes strum. But the 10-stringed instrument, the kinnor, is something like this. Maybe that looks more like an auto harp to you. How do you strum this? Or like a steel guitar, like in the country music where they're playing it flat, right? All these kinds of instruments vary in cultures, but this is the kind of thing that Jewish people would have used. Next, you can see it there in the context of the artwork. You can see how he's strumming, and there's different lengths there, but he's holding it in his hand in the middle. Keep going, shall we? Different lengths of string again. Sometimes it wasn't wood. We tend to use with violins and guitars an area near the end that's going to make it sound. But sometimes they could use other things. Let's go to this one, similar to the before. That might be a really good representation of King David strumming on his harp. That's as likely as anything to how it looked. But next one, this might be more like the Neville, the last one mentioned, where it's the animal hide, it's leather, and maybe this is more like the viola or the cello again, as opposed to the violin that leads the orchestra. This is more the harmony instrument, the alto, the tenor, perhaps. But it's good to praise the Lord. It's good to make music. If you read harp, if you read lyre, maybe you think soothing, but I would rather have you think banjo, something that's joyful, something that's invigorating, that reminds us of how good God is, how profound his thoughts are, the psalmist says. The next slide is about that, because here's like the pinnacle of our technology. Now I know nuclear reactors and space shuttles and such are even fancier than automobiles. But here, this is the front grille of a Subaru, right? This is around the world. Internal combustion engines, and you step on the gas and you go, and it's really something. How many miles they last and how safely we can transport ourselves at such speeds. This is like how good we are at the works of our hands. Notice there are 7 stars on the front of the Japanese designed automobile, right? Subaru in Japanese. Or in Greek and in English, it's the Pleiades. Look at the next one. Here's the works of God's hands. It's 440 some light years away inside our galaxy. How great are your works, Lord? How profound. Found your thoughts. You make me glad by your deeds. You do that kind of stuff? That's your Subaru? Compared to our Subaru? There's no comparison, is there? So how good for us to be in God's house tonight. Maybe the stars haven't impressed us lately, or the full moon that I saw when I was in Mankato an hour or so ago. Maybe we just take those things for granted. The way God kept us through this year. How good, the psalmist is saying, how good to be in God's house. Someone else might say to us, oh, you're going to church again tonight? Weren't you in church this morning? Or whether you were or weren't, or last night, or whatever the case might be. Really? New Year's Eve, you're going to church? And you say, yeah. Why? Because it's good. Good because you're fulfilling like the obligation you have. So that you'll be okay with God because you get extra points, or you at least get enough points, or that it has nothing to do with that, does it? That's why it's so good. This is like if you're gone for a few days. This happened to me this week. I went to some meetings. My family went to see the rest of our extended family. And then I got back before the rest of them. And it wouldn't surprise you if I would tell you it was just so good to see my wife and my kids again. Why? It's just good. Because of something I had to earn? Because of some... It's a living, growing relationship of love that I don't deserve. It's how do you put this into words? The psalmist says you might as well use music. That's the only way you can really do it. You got to sing it. Words like this, how great are your works, Lord, how profound your thoughts. The senseless man does not know. Fools do not understand that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they forever will be destroyed. Let's look at a few pictures of that. When it mentions grass, it's talking about vegetation, and therefore not just grass. We think grass, we think short, green vegetation. But in Jewish terms, here's some flowers by the Sea of Galilee. Jesus talked about these, the lilies of the field, the anemones. They're short-lived. They're little bulbs, and they come, and then they go. Further south, again, in a modern park in Israel, a blanket for a short time of the year, kind of like our tulips or our irises or our lilies are just around a little bit in the spring and then they're gone, right? Just for a few weeks. This is what the psalm writer wants us to think about, how fast our lives go. The senseless man doesn't get that the wicked spring up like grass. They look really fancy. They look famous. They look rich. They look like they're at ease. They look like they're doing great. Keep going. Next slide. And then all of a sudden, this is the Negev also in Israel. Isn't that amazing? It's so dry. It's so different from the previous couple pictures. Though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be forever destroyed. Every New Year's Eve we say, wow, where did the time go? And how good to be in God's house. How good to be in God's house. First of all, thankfully, God has done such great works for me. My Jesus himself would have been singing this and saying this Sabbath after Sabbath. There's only one psalm of all 150 that says you sing it on this day, at least in the Hebrew version, and that's Psalm 92. And we know Jesus went to the temple. We know Jesus went to the synagogue every Saturday, saying it's good. It's just good to thank my God. He sent me here to save the world. And I'll sing his praise. How great are his works. He made this whole creation. He's leading me every step. He's leading me to the cross. That's good. He's leading me to be tempted by the devil. He's leading me to teach these disciples. It's all good. I'm going to do whatever he wants to praise him. How did that sound? Since the psalm says we got to sing it, we got to make music, we're going to do that twice. First here in the middle and then again at the end. Your part is going to be very, very, very simple, and it's a cappella. You can do it. I'm going to come in with a little Hebrew, with a little English, and we're going to have a voice from the balcony also to echo. But here's your part. Alleluia. Just try that with me. Alleluia. And then we do it again. Alleluia. Now a little higher, just like we did. Alleluia. And then the fourth. Alleluia. Now we're going to keep doing that. Alleluia.
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 Alleluia. Hold that note up. Alleluia. Alleluia. Now we keep going, even if I sing something else. Alleluia.
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 Magadu. Mahasechia. Maod ham kumash votecha. That's Hebrew. I'll do it in English. Keep going. Oh, how great are your works, O Lord. Your thoughts, they are very Alleluia.
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 That was Psalm 92, verse 5. How great is God that he can even make music and harmony, and it's better than that. We come tonight and we say, thank you, God, We see how good it is to be in God's house. Not only thankfully, reverently, repeatedly, musically interacting with God, but also, especially in the last part of the psalm, thoughtfully. Let's keep looking at some slides and keep reading. You are forever praised, O Lord. That's what the psalmist says. That's what we were trying to embody with our song. You, Lord, are forever exalted. Why? Because, so those are lilies from the Negev, and they spring up very fast. Similarly, the next, those are desert tulips in the south part of Israel. They are not there for very long. But God is forever exalted. These are lilies again. They look a little bit like our Easter lilies. The next slide will show them a little bit more prominence. Isn't that a neat picture? So brief. So beautiful, but so brief. But God is forever exalted. Exalted above the skies. Exalted above the heavens. Let's keep going. In mysterious ways, beyond us. The psalm writer sees it. He says, for surely your enemies, Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers, to the next slide, all evildoers will be scattered. It doesn't look that way, does it? Looks like they're very firmly planted. It looks like they're beautiful. It looks like they're way more beautiful than other things and other people. And God says, no. How good to be in God's house. We're not casting aspersions on anybody else not here, but how good to be praising God again tonight. Forward. Next, the psalmist talks about a couple animals, and we don't see these in our part of the world, so it's good. That's an oryx. The psalm writer says, you have exalted my horn. You see what he means by horn? Something really not to be messed with. You have exalted my strength, my power. I don't necessarily feel so powerful in a big, wide world when time is passing so fast, but you've exalted my horn like that. Next slide. Of a wild ox. Oh, my goodness. These are animals not to be messed with. That's my horn. Yeah, the next one he has him charging at us. You've exalted my horn like, let's see if we can see the next one. Like that. Pictures are worth 1,000 words. How good it is to be in God's house. I have a strength that others do not see in Jesus my Savior. That's what we say tonight. Songs give me a strength. Music, the Lord's Supper, God's Word gives me a strength like it gave to Jesus, who faced all the powers of this world, who faced the devil himself and didn't back down. No, the psalm writer says, you've exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured on me. So we might think motor oil or something, but olive oil in that culture, and so oils that rejuvenate, that make my skin glisten, that revive me when I'm tired, that kind of thing. Fine oils have been poured upon me. So my eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. The psalm writer goes on. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. This is my confidence in Christ. Lastly, in the psalm, palm trees. And again, we take time to look at them because around here, we don't have these kinds of trees. But this is the entrance to a particularly nice resort on the Sea of Galilee today. And palms have been imported to make a really beautiful walk at night. Very tall palms. Palms are planted in various places. The next one will show us a place where date palms are being grown. Very tall, sweet fruit. This is you and me. This is why it's so good to be in God's house. The psalm writer says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. That's you. Righteous in God, serving and trying for Jesus' sake to live a righteous life in thanks. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. One more. That's a very, very, very old palm tree, so old that they're guarding it with a fence in Israel. But no matter what kind of palm we're thinking of, very, very sturdy trees that can withstand long winds, devastating storms, and they can last for many, many hundreds of years in certain cases. Or his other comparison, not only a palm tree, but in the next slide, they will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. So trees that smelled great, that could proverbially last for centuries in the hills north of Israel. Let's keep going. They will be like a cedar of Lebanon, planted, ironically, in the house of the Lord, we might think, well, they've got to be planted in the mountains. Keep going. But he says planted in the house of the Lord. So originally, there's a tent in the desert. And then David moves that tent about 3,000 years ago to the city of Jerusalem on the way north side, way up on the top there. There's a tent. And in the embroidery of the tent, besides guardian angels for God, there are palm trees. And that's partly a picture of you and me, the psalmist says. Keep going. Then a house gets built by Solomon. We don't know when the psalm was written. Was it during the days when there was a stone building up at the top of the north side there on the far right of the slide? The interior looks like this. All gold. Gold on the floor, gold on the ceiling, gold on the walls. And again, you will notice among the decorations on the wall, palm trees. Did you know? Pomegranates and palms. Fruitfulness and steadiness and long-lastingness. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. Keep going. So in that city of Jerusalem, even if enemies came, there was an interior thing that only the priests could see that was a symbol of us still today. One more. The way I see it, like I said, as soon as a baby is born, he should be issued a banjo. The psalmist ends similarly. He says, planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He's my rock. There's no wickedness in him. I'm here to praise the God who never does anything wrong, who's got next year all lined up. So I don't have to worry. What if grave sorrow comes our way? Somebody told me a couple Saturdays ago that I should tell everybody about the blue candles because somebody else asked, why the blue candles, Pastor? Didn't we used to have purple candles? And the answer is we did because we used to have purple pyramids during Advent and then we switched to blue, but we didn't switch to blue candles until the grandson of one of the a couple in our congregation, the grandson died suddenly. He drowned at age 2. And we put the blue out in Advent, and we light them still during Christmas because of the hope we have that Jesus came the first time. We proclaim the Lord's love in the morning and his faithfulness night after night. Jesus is going to come again and fix everything. And maybe grave sorrows come our way in 2018. Or maybe the most wondrous thing of all, maybe Jesus comes and we see him visibly. I think as well, besides of those candles, of the candle that's a little further away, and that's the one inside the red glass over there. Supposedly, a child came to a church like this. I suppose we could even make it this church. Fictitious story. But the child was thinking that the service was going a little long, the sermon was going a little long, and finally nudged the mom or dad next and said, when the light turns green, can we go? We say, I love to be in God's house. It's so good. I get to sing his love in the morning and his faithfulness night after night. You make me glad, Lord, by your deeds. I say it's good, thankfully looking back and thoughtfully looking ahead. Let the wicked think they're going to flourish. I'm like a palm tree, and I'm planted in the house of my God through Jesus, my Savior.